Okay, this is the time and place set for oral argument in the case of Coach or Kochi. Kochi versus State, case number 72397. Is counsel ready to proceed? And you may reserve some time for rebuttal when you stand up. Advise the clerk what time you want.
Thank you, Presiding Justice Pickering. If it pleases the court, Edwin Brown on behalf of Appellant Robert Kochi. I'd like to reserve approximately 5 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honors, the only way this case could have gotten to this point and had a conviction against Mr. Kochi is if he had the power, the opportunity to approve the water permit of Mr. Linetti, and he had neither. The state engineer, and many of you already know a lot about water law, so I won't belabor any of that. We tried to do so in the brief, but he was never consulted, never asked to give any input. But you might say, well, what if behind the scenes he was asked about that? Well, the beauty of that is that the prosecutor called everyone who was involved in the process of that permit, from the basin engineer, Mr. Haffey, to the Ready for Action Committee, to the state engineer, to the assistant state engineer for that permit. And all of them either testified they had no discussion with Mr. Kochi or could recall no discussions with Mr. Kochi.
But how would you account for the fact all this evidence was presented to the jury? Your client could make those same arguments to the jury. The state has to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, and the jury returned a guilty verdict. So how do we deal with that?
How do we deal with that? This water law is very complicated. There's no doubt in my mind that this jury either did not understand the law and therefore relied upon the prosecutor to tell them what the law was and what the evidence they sat through but did not understand or didn't listen to or bored with, and then ran with that. For example, the statement by the prosecutor that Mr. Kochi, we don't have to prove Mr. Kochi did anything. Well, yeah, you do. You have to prove that he actually took a step in his official capacity to approve that permit. His sitting back and not doing anything is not an element of any of the crimes with which he was charged. So I think the jury simply did not understand what their burden was on the elements of bribery and extortion, and did not understand that they had to find that Mr. Kochi either influenced or approved the permit and received money for doing so.
Well, the bribery thing, we just talked about that for a minute. I guess the evidence was that he received $600,000 for his interest in Madras LLC. You're saying it's a real estate transaction, it's a legitimate transaction to do. The state's saying it's a bribe, you know, like that. So it goes to the jury, and I guess they thought it was a bribe. But again, there's a lot of conflicting evidence in this case. Clara, that's why we're arguing it.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, and that's, but, you know, a lot of, we have to defer to the jury unless you know, you can show us that there wasn't a reasonable jury could not find beyond a reasonable doubt that there was sufficient evidence for
conviction. I agree. That's the test. That's my job. And, Your Honor, I think there was no conflicting evidence.
Okay.
So I'd like to address that, if
please,
I could, because it is an opportunity to clarify some of the evidence and some of the arguments that were made in the briefs. And I understand your theory of the case. But I have a question. My question centers on the contents of the RFA committee file with regard to the Lonetti water permit. And it's my understanding from the citations to the record that over a year after the initial letter was sent to Lonetti, a new document was created for Lonetti's file to replace whatever was originally there. The next day, the permit was issued. And then a search warrant on your client's home provided a portion of the file from the state engineer's office for that permit. What was in the search warrant, and why was that material in your client's home?
As we explained in the brief and as was presented at trial, Mr. Smales, Don Smales, was a colleague of Mr. Kochi at the state engineer's office. When he passed away, his son took a whole collection of files that his father had kept at his home. Now, why he didn't take it over to the state engineer's office, I don't know. But he knew that Mr. Smales and Mr. Cochi were colleagues and were friends, and so he brought those files to him. One of those, unbeknownst to Mr. Cochi, and there was no evidence that Mr. Cochi asked for that file, had that file for any reason other than the son brought it to him, and there is the file. There's no evidence of any writing by Mr. Cochi in there. In fact, the son's testimony was that he recognized his father's handwriting in that file. So it was simply a file. So let's do this. Let's assume, because the file is in his office, let's assume the worst possible scenario.
In his home, not his office.
In his home office, correct. Where apparently they keep those files, because again, Mr. Smales had his at his home. And by the way, keep in mind that the jury found no abuse of public office by Mr. Cochi. So in terms of his having that file at his home, was certainly not an actionable item. But there's no evidence, because that file was there, that he had anything to do with that.
Could you address the content of the file discovered by the search warrant?
I'm not aware of any content of the file that was produced that was relevant to the case. There was an allegation that Mr. Haffey testified to that was missing a draft of the approval of the permit, and he explained he just threw that out, he doesn't keep those. That was the only thing I'm aware of that was missing from the file. But I guess I'm not quite sure what Your Honor is asking.
In response to the search warrant, the file was located.
Correct.
What was contained in the file that was located in response to the search warrant?
I don't know, Your Honor.
Was it introduced into evidence?
I don't believe it was, Your Honor.
Okay.
I think they just argued the fact that the file was there. Ergo, there must be some dastardly deed involved. Mm-hmm. No proof that was relevant to any of the granting of the permit. Well, he was a classic red herring, Your Honor.
Okay. And then why were some of the funds transferred through Rio Virgin, LLC?
Very good question, Your Honor, and I think that was exploited by the prosecutor to make it look like Mr. Linetti was paying money to Mr. Cochi, which he was not. As you know, the contract was only between...
Well, Johnson wasn't a member of the LLC, was he?
At the time it was first created, nobody but Mr. Templeton was a member of the LLC.
Well, but not long after that, Cochi was listed as president of Rio Virgin, isn't that right?
Correct.
So at the time that the money was dispersed to Rio Virgin, Cochi was president of LLC, correct?
Correct.
So why did the money transmit to Rio Virgin?
Because Mr. Johnson, who had contracted with Mr. Linetti for that ownership interest in those permits, called for him to receive approximately $1.3 million, and he said transfer that to the Rio Virgin bank account. Now, that was legitimate from Mr. Linetti's standpoint, because that's who the contract was with, was Rio Virgin. So he simply transferred those fees. Mr. Cochi had nothing to do with those payments. His deal, of course, was with Mr. Johnson in the sale of their common property, the Madras property. So the payment was made to Rio Virgin because that was the party that contracted with Mr. Linetti. The fact that Mr. Cochi was the president didn't mean that it was a payment to him personally for what exactly? Why would Mr. Linetti pay him $1.3 million?
Well, who were the members of Rio Virgin? Like that, an LLC has not a corporation, so
no
president. So you have, who was the manager and who were the members of that LLC?
Well, the members of the LLC ended up being Mr. Templeton, of course, who formed and filed the articles. Mr. Johnson and Mr. Cochi were all three members.
Who was the manager of it?
Well, you say manager. I don't think there's any managing going on.
Well, and LLCs under Nevada law have members and they have a manager designated.
Right. I don't know.
The manager runs it, so I think that's relevant, whoever it is. You know.
That money came into the account and then was dispersed through the various parties. I suppose
it came into the account for so-called consulting on the water fees.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct. For Mr. Johnson's consulting on the fees. Correct.
And
not Mr. Cochise, of course. No evidence of that.
And the state are a bit disconnected. You seem to think you require direct proof of an actual issuance of the permit under Mr. Cochi's signature for this crime to have been committed. The state seems to argue the apparent exertion of power and influence in exchange for money is sufficient to establish bribery and extortion because of Mr. Cochi's exalted rank in the Southern Nevada branch of the state engineer's office. He occupied such a position and certainly had the appearance, if not the actual authority, to do something. Could you comment on that legally?
Well, I would sure love to. The mere fact that you're on the bench doesn't suggest that you have the power to do things that are not within your control. The fact that he may have been an assistant state engineer doesn't mean he can go around granting permits wherever he wants. Sure, I will agree that if he exercised some influence on the granting of this permit, that might qualify as an act by him in his official capacity. But all they proved was...
Well, what if he said, I can grease the skids, I'll get this on for you?
Agreed. If. The facts are he didn't.
Right. No, but if he did, even if he actually couldn't, and the final authority reposed in the state engineer, would that not be a sufficient predicate for these convictions?
Of course, that's not what they argued.
I understand. Okay. I'm just trying to understand your position.
My position is agreed. Okay. If he did something behind the scenes to influence this, that's why they paraded everybody in that office up there. Did he help? Was he consulted? Did he grease the skids? No.
Did he give the impression to Mr. Lanetti through Johnson or himself directly that he was in a position to provide benefits by virtue of his public employment?
Great question, Your Honor. The two men never met, didn't know each other. So the answer is an emphatic no.
Okay.
No influence whatsoever.
You're in your rebuttal time.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Did you have another question, Justice Hardesty, before you sit down?
Well, I wanted to there were several crimes your client was convicted of.
Yes.
And the one that I understand your arguments regarding bribery and extortion and money laundering, but why doesn't the participation of Johnson and Coche in Rio Virgin provides substantial evidence of a conspiracy, considering the elements of conspiracy?
Thank you, Your Honor. Yeah, I think there was a conspiracy among themselves to sell property and take the money that they had earned through a real estate. There was no conspiracy to commit a crime. There was no crime committed. There was no evidence presented that the two of them got together and said, let's do this. Let's take money from Mr. Linetti, and you influence the permit, and then we'll split that money. No evidence of that, of course. So the fact that they had communications over the sale of their real estate, I agree, there were communications, but there was no conspiracy for them to do anything illegal.
But the real estate was never owned by Rio Virgin LLC.
It was owned by Madras, and only the proceeds, you're correct, Your Honor, the proceeds were then put into the Rio Virgin account.
And the only two people who had control of the bank account of Rio Virgin, through whom the $1.3 million+ traveled, was Mr. Cochi and Mr. Johnson.
Right. So if you sell your home and you put the proceeds in an LLC, which people do every single day, and you put the proceeds from the judge's home into the LLC, which is a completely new LLC, and you add your son as an LLC member, perfectly legal. That's
Were Johnson and Cochi related?
No.
Think I would be hard pressed to put my neighbor's home on a bank account and money travel through that bank account in the hopes that he doesn't take or she doesn't take part of it. But that's
but remember, they were partners in this real estate venture,
which is outside Rio Virgin.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they were both partners in Madras, both partners in Rio Virgin. So. Really, there was a name change, but they still had the same relationship of having assets.
And the only asset that I know of from this record that Rio Virgin had was the consulting contract to Linetti.
Right. And then that money was going to be used...
From which it sounds like you're trying to divorce Cochi from.
I'm only divorcing him from the efforts involved to earn that money. He earned that money by owning 6%.
That's why I asked you to focus your attention on the subject matter of conspiracy.
Right.
He didn't have to grease the skids. He didn't have to grease the permit. If he entered into a conspiracy to help somebody else engage in an unlawful act, he committed a conspiracy.
I
don't
agree.
Don't the facts surrounding the Rio Virgin bank account, participation, and funding provide sufficient evidence for the jury to arrive at a verdict on conspiracy of guilty?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
And the reason why is because that money was used only to pay the 60% ownership of Madras. The fact that Mr. Johnson asked that the money go into that bank account so that he then could split that money with Mr. Kochi, it was only for the convenience of allowing the money to be placed somewhere so it could be given. He could have easily had it into his own personal bank account and then paid Mr. Kochi $600,000 for that ownership. That was a corporation bank account, or well, LLC, in order for that money simply to be divided, Your Honor. There was no conspiracy and no proof at trial that there was any effort by Mr. Kochi to receive that money for doing anything. I would agree with you if there was some evidence that they talked, or maybe he met with Mr. Linetti, or they conspired.
Well, as you know, you don't necessarily have to have overt evidence to support a conspiracy. It can be demonstrated by the circumstances of the case.
But
and here, this seems to be an inferential case.
Well,
or one that at least is supported by circumstantial evidence. Let's put it that way. I'm interested in the state's observation about this.
Yeah, I don't think it gets to beyond a reasonable doubt, but
You're out of time, sir.
Thank you.
I will add 2 minutes and allow you to have rebuttal for 2 minutes, and I'll add 3.5 minutes to the state's time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, my name is Mark Jagmar. I represent the state in this action. I'm going to address a number of the issues that Justice Hardesty, but I want to start off with just one sort of broad concept here. What we had was a payment of $1.3 million for what? Two things happened. A permit for water got permitted by the state engineer's office, and it got sold through way of the Virgin Valley Water District. And what do we have, the people who take the $1.3 million? We have a deputy state engineer, and we have a guy who's a chief hydrologist that runs all the water for the Virgin Valley Water District. Those are the facts that we start with in this particular case.
And supposedly a consulting service provided by Rio?
Correct.
And under the auspices of Johnson and possibly Kochi.
Well, definitely Kochi, and
yeah.
Here's why.
Okay.
Dates are highly important in this case. So back in July of 2006, so some 7 months, 8 months before this document that it dated February 1st, 2007, whether or not that's the real date put on there by the conspirators, who knows. But back then, there is an RFA, which means the group of people get together, and then the result of that RFA has to be, we're going to grant the permit for 54383, because they send the fee letter out to Mr. Linetti. Mr. Linetti pays his fees. What should happen is exactly what happened later in 2007. The permit should get issued. It doesn't. What happens is that there is, in February of 2007, we have this document that says, I will pay Rio Virgin 25% of 54383, 10% of 3085, if you can get it titled and then sold. That's basically what the document says. What happens immediately after that, before the 54383 gets permitted by the state engineer? This defendant, Mr. Kochi, calls his friend Stephen Templeton and says, I want you to create the Rio Virgin LLC for me to hold water rights, to speculate.
And later, Templeton recants that.
He does, but this is a sufficiency of the evidence.
Sure.
And
it's a conflict.
There's a conflict in what he says later on, although His story changes about seven different times later on, and it doesn't
but
make
I'm just pointing
heck
out
of a lot of sense.
They're saying it's one thing, you're saying it's another, and this guy, Templeton, said both things.
He did, absolutely. But he says that on a Friday. On Saturday, he goes have a barbecue with Kochi, and by the next week, his story has changed to, at first it was, hey, Kochi just asked me to set up this LLC for Johnson, which kind of flows into your conspiracy theory, to, no, Johnson and I were actually going to do some sort of construction business together, but it never went anywhere. And as far as I know, nothing ever happened with Rio Virgin LLC. His story sort of promulgated over time, but in the evidence, the best light to us is prior to July 1st of 2007, Mr. Kochi is asking him, his friend, who has no tie to Johnson, to set up this LLC. Then what happens immediately upon July 1st is when some of the documents for the LLC at the state engineer or at the Secretary of State's offices. On July 5th or 6th of 2007, there is the new RFA document. And now between the two, the state engineer has changed. The state engineer was Tracy Taylor. He had some health problems related to his mental health.
King.
And it gets moved to Stephen King. What Stephen King says is I have absolutely no memory whatsoever of ever having a conversation with Kochi about the granting of this permit. In my mind, the reason you have to grant this permit is because the prior one messed up back in 1990 when the Virgin Valley or the Las Vegas Water District and the SNWA had two different permits. This should have been resolved then. It wasn't resolved. I was stuck. I had to sign it. Ask Tracy Taylor. Hey, Tracy, did you ever talk to Kochi about this particular one? His response is, look, I don't have an independent recollection whatsoever of talking to Mr. Kochi about this specific one. I always talk to him about things that happened in Southern Nevada because he's the Southern Nevada water guy, but I don't have any memory of specifically this one, which makes, sort of a lot of sense. But either way, now the permit gets issued in 2007. Fast forward, what happens? There is a conversation with Johnson with the SNWA saying, look, we want to sell all this water. Well, the SNWA can't buy 54383. So now Johnson's stuck. The conspiracy's stuck. So he convinces the SNWA, who thinks that he's representing the Virgin Valley Water District, to do this three-way swap where the water district can hold the property and he can't.
So let me just pause you for a second. What untoward... What does the evidence show occurred to cause the permit to be issued that was in any way untoward, leaving out Kochi? In other words, the state engineer is saying, look, there was this gap where they filed in 1990 and then SNWA filed in 1993 and they had a pre-existing 89 and the one in 90 should have been adjudicated or permitted at that time, and so we're going to fix it. It's just correct. A course correction. It was an error. We're working off the backlog. So let's assume that the conclusion is Kochi had nothing to do with it, but he pretended he did and took money for it. Is that your theory of the case?
It is now. Obviously a trial, and this is important. They continue to argue that we never proved what he did to cause 54383 to get permitted. They're right, and the jury agreed with them. That is the misconduct of
public
officer.
That's why Six doesn't get...
That's why he gets a not guilty, because we couldn't prove that. What we could prove is similar to me. I am a deputy district attorney. I enter into a contract with somebody to say, I'm going to get cases denied out of screening. Even if I don't go over to screening, if I take money based on that contract, I'm still guilty of the extortion and the bribery.
Right, that's what I'm pressing to understand. So yeah. Tell me about that.
So we have a document that says the Rio Virgin LLC will title... and sell, right? Well, who is the member of, who is Rio Virgin LLC? So you go back and you check. And what you check is, okay, well, who set up the LLC? Well, according to Steve Templeton, at least initially, it's Kochi to set up in water rights. Then you jump, as I was going to my
time. And why does Rio, I still don't understand why Rio gives $600,000 at, the money comes into Rio, and then Johnson gives $600,000 to Kochi to buy out his share of Madras?
That's the claim, but it's a complete fabrication that occurs afterwards. And how do you know? Well, here's how you know. Because in 2008, in 2009, in 2010, Nothing related to Madras happens. Mr. Kochi files his tax returns in 2009, and actually there's a notation in the tax returns that says nothing happened with Madras in 2008. If there was a $600,000 sale of the property, there would have been action with Madras. He no longer would have owned Madras. He would have been able to take the $70,000 he was in on the property from the $600,000 that he allegedly paid for it on his taxes, and he would have paid $530,000. He doesn't. That doesn't happen. More importantly, we get to the search warrants. When we do the search
warrants. But before you go there, so do you concede that the evidence does not establish that Mr. Kochi did anything at all to have that permit issued for the 1990 rights?
I will concede we were unable to establish what he did to earn the money. Absolutely. I mean, that's what the jury.
I mean, the sale occurred. Johnson brokers this sale down the road, but the actual issuance of the revival and crediting of the 1990 Linetti.
Correct, and I think the likely reason that we don't know is because we don't have the 2006 RFA, which has been cleaned out from that file, and that's where I was going to get to the search warrant.
Okay, I wanted to pause you before you got there, though, because you do agree with him that there's no direct.
Correct.
Evidence that Mr. Kochi influenced anything.
Correct. There's an inference from the evidence that's before the jury, but they didn't buy it. And on appeal, I'm willing to concede that we did not establish what he did to cause the permit.
It's not clear to me how that influences the extortion count, but keep going with your factual.
Sure. So then we execute a search warrant at Mr. Kochi and Mr. Johnson's house, by the way, and we get all of their records for all of their LLCs. And what's not there? There is none of that May 20th, 2008 assignment for $600,000, this piece of paper that just showed up later on during the civil litigation. There's no operating agreement for Madras that just later shows up miraculously. What we do get is we get the Linetti file, and we get the portion of the state engineer's file related to 54383 prior to that 2006 RFA that shouldn't have been there. And their argument was, Mr. Smales, these are his files. Then he must have given them to us. And, some of those permits in that file were from Mr. Smales, and I have to dispute counsel, his own client, Mr. Kochi, admits that the red writing on the permits, the copies of the permit applications, is Mr. Kochi's signature. He admits that is his writing in a deposition. So what happens in our trial? In our trial, Mr. Johnson gets on the stand and goes, no, those copies of those permits I brought over to his house, and the rest of that is the Smales file. Okay, Mr. Johnson, you don't have access to the Carson City office of the state engineer, do you? No. You didn't bring anything like an original plot map out of the state engineer's office, did you? No. Okay, good. Thank you very much. What happens then? You look in the file, and what's in the file, and that is in evidence, by the way, there is an original plot map from the Carson City office for 3085 and 54383, the big white and blue maps that you see. And the problem with that map is it's authenticated by Michael Turnipseed in 1995. And the evidence was Don Smales died in 1994. That's what his son testified to. So that map could not have gotten into that house, either by Mr. Johnson in his own testimony, or by way of this alleged Don Smales situation related to the file and Linetti. More importantly, the Linetti file has a breakdown of the money to be dispersed from the Rio Virgin LLC to the parties. And so the suggestion that somehow this was a legitimate transaction involving Madras just isn't accurate. There is not a single document prior to the arrest of the defendants in this case, or at least prior to the investigation of this case, that suggests in any manner, in any way, that they sold any interest back and forth in the Madras company. None whatsoever. The money goes into the LLC and immediately gets transferred out to Rio Virgin accounts at one of the brokerage firms, the name's escaping me, that both defendants had their own property at. Had their own accounts in. They didn't have to send it out to the brokerage firm in the Rio Virgin LLC. And then there's evidence that they dock their documents because when they go to buy Cibola, Cibola's, which is one of the properties they buy, Cibola goes, hey, wait a second, there's something weird going on here. We need an operating agreement for Cibola. And Mr. Johnson sends him an email saying, it's not ready yet. Well, he says it's not ready yet in August. When you finally get the operating agreement, it's dated back in June. On top of that, they ask him, well, how come the money's coming from Rio Virgin LLC? And his response is, oh, it's just the holding company. And then they go, well, who's this Bob Cochi guy that we see on these documents? Oh, that's just my partner. All of this is indicative of an unlawful activity, and you're right about this fact. Even if he did nothing related to the state engineer, his conspiracy liability for assisting Johnson in the behavior with the Virgin Valley Water District is enough to hold him liable for every single one of these counts. And why? How do you know that he has knowledge of exactly what that transaction is? Because 3085 originally was thought to be 1,000 acre feet or something like that, and 54383 was what's being sold. And the original conversation happens in March of 2008 with the SNWA where they work out the price. Mr. Cochi goes to his bank, opens a bank account in the name of Rio Virgin, in his house's name, naming him as president, saying the initial amount of money that's going to be received by this Rio Virgin LLC is $1.7 million. Now, between that date on April 1st of 2008 and May 20th of 2008, when the money actually gets given, the state or the SNWA figures out, oh, wait, there's 400 acre feet of this 1,000 acre feet of 3085 that doesn't exist. So we have to take out this 400 acre feet, so you're only getting paid for 600 acre feet. And that's why the money comes out to $1.3275 million. And so he has knowledge of exactly what the deal is because he's filling out the paperwork at the bank to put his name on the account for Rio Virgin, and he knows exactly what the money is. More importantly, he files a 1099 because, as I said, he's a lot more scared of the IRS than he is of the state of Nevada. And so he fills out a 1099. And he establishes in that 1099, hey, he gets the 1099, he puts his name on it, he puts Rio Virgin's name on it, and he lists out the items that Rio Virgin LLC is receiving money for. He lists out 3085, he lists out 54383, and he lists out the 2005 Linetti transaction with the Virgin Valley Water District, which establishes his knowledge of exactly what's going on between Linetti, Johnson, and the Virgin Valley Water District in order to hold them liable by way of conspiracy theory. So while I'm willing to...
So this was a 1099 issued by Rio Virgin to him?
It's his handwriting on it, and it's a 1099 that has both his name and Rio Virgin. I'm not a tax lawyer, so I don't know if it's issued to him or him to him. He wrote it, and essentially is... It's in his tax
Well, documents. The 1099 would report what monies are distributed from the payer to the payee.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that 1099 is written by Mr. Cochi, and it lists out those three items, which established his knowledge of exactly what was happening in this particular situation.
And that was introduced and admitted in evidence.
It was part of my rebuttal argument.
I saw that.
Just the other day.
So, yeah. Mr. John, I just want to confirm your argument. You're saying the evidence of the conspiracy here that you've laid out, all these facts, is sufficient to establish liability for every count that Mr. Cochi was convicted of?
Yes, absolutely.
Liability from being part of a conspiracy. Yeah.
Correct. You establish a conspiracy by inference of the conduct of the parties, and there is so much evidence of the coordinated series of acts between these two defendants to bilk their two employers, or at least bilk Mr. Linetti and the Virgin Valley Water District, that the conspiracy theory applies. It has to apply in this situation. The claim is, I don't have any knowledge, but the evidence is you did. The claim is, no, this is really a sale for a $600,000 piece of property, when there's absolutely no evidence to establish that sale ever occurred. In fact, Maria Testo, who is Mr. Cochi's sister, up until the middle of the civil litigation that occurred in this case, was still the sole person on the Madras LLC and still held title to the Madras property. It never got transferred to Mr. Johnson until the civil litigation was well underway. It remained in Mr. Kochi's sister's name. And there was no evidence that Mr. Johnson did anything related to Madras throughout that entire thing until well after 2010.
Did you introduce the records of the Secretary of State on Madras and on the other LLC and all that so we could see who the manager or the members were who established
it? And in fact, the Rio Virgin LLC is not what they call the nominee LLC. It only has Steve Templeton, and Steve Templeton listed himself as the manager. But then Steve Templeton never did anything as associated with it. I'm still unclear how it is Kochi and Johnson were able to open a bank account with absolutely no documentation whatsoever, not even the articles of incorporation at Wells Fargo, but that's on Wells Fargo. But there is absolutely no evidence other than this is Mr. Kochi's deal, and Mr. Kochi's using his friends to do it, and then ultimately Mr. Johnson finds a way to sell it through his employer. Otherwise, the money fairy just doesn't exist. People just don't get given $1.3 million for doing nothing. You could have picked up the phone and called the SNWA and said, I have 3085 to sell. I'd like to sell it to you. And they'd buy it for $10,000 an acre foot because they were buying all the water they possibly could at this period of time.
Mr. Giacomo, I think I understand your response. Except with respect to money laundering. When I look at the elements of money laundering, I'm having difficulty understanding what was the instrument that formed the basis for money laundering.
Well,
wasn't it the permit, or was it the permit?
No, it doesn't have to be the permit. The instrument for money laundering is hiding money from an illegal source. So assuming that the $1.3 million is illegal, whether it's from extortion, whether it's from bribery, or whether it's from misconduct. Assuming you know that money is illegal, it's the efforts to hide the source and the true owners of the funds. And nobody's going to dispute that what happens to the money afterwards is a classic example of money laundering. Their dispute is, I don't have any liability for bribery and extortion, therefore I can't be guilty of money laundering. Whereas money laundering requires the source of the funds to be unlawful. And in this case, if he is guilty of extortion and or bribery, either by conspiracy or directly committing the crime, he has knowledge that the source is unlawful, and he engaged in conduct to hide the money. If there are no other questions,
thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. I think I can clarify one thing. With your question, Justice Gibbons, I think I was inaccurate about the timing of two things. First, Mr. Linetti and Mr. Johnson had agreed on a sale in which Mr. Johnson got $1.3 million. I, at one point, thought that was some type of a commission or something, but he got part ownership of them. That happens. Then the next thing that happens is the money is paid by Mr. Linetti. The last thing that occurred was that Mr. Kochi became a member of Rio Virgin. So Mr. Kochi was not a member of Rio Virgin at the time that Mr. Linetti paid that money. And I think I was inaccurate when I answered your question about whether he was a member of Rio Virgin at the time the payment was made. He was not. That happened afterward. And then they had their agreement.
How was that memorialized? How are you able to establish that date?
Mr. Johnson's testimony. And I think we've cited it in the record.
All right.
And I want to cite that to Your Honor. It's at 8 in our brief, appendix 1980, 1981, 2050, 2070, and 3035. 1980, 1981, 2050, 2070, 3035. So I think that's important in terms of the timing of events. The other thing I wanted to, what I'm hearing in the state's argument is that there was a coordinated effort between Mr. Johnson and Mr. Kochi. I don't see any coordinated effort to do anything but to sell half of one's property to the other partner. There was no evidence at trial. Remember that there was any discussion between Mr. Johnson and Mr. Kochi about Mr. Linetti. So that,
well, you'd agree with me that if there was a sale of property acquired by the two of them back in 2004,
right,
the sale of the property would have resulted in a capital gain.
Yes.
Why is your guy writing out a 1099 from Rio Virgin if he's going to get a capital gain on the sale of real property?
Well, he was
seriously.
By the time that happened, he was a member of when that money was paid. Remember, it was paid through, and he paid taxes on that. He paid capital gains taxes on the $600,000 from the sale of the property.
So the return, that return is introduced.
Yes.
And it was in 2008 or subsequently?
Well, it had to have been, it might have been in 2009 before 2008.
Well, I thought the claim was the transaction occurred in May of 2008.
The transaction did, but I'm saying the return for 2008 was likely filed in 2009, right.
Okay.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
This matter will stand submitted.